I'm going to ask you to sit down. We're going to do the 23rd Psalm, but some of us have memorized it over the years, and different verses have different ways of saying it exactly. So we're going to put it on the screen. Let's read it and read together the King James Version. Join me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The word of the Lord. I wanted you to be able to sit down and rest because I'd like you to stand for the gospel. This is the gospel of John. The 10th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jesus told them, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life, and have it abundantly." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. I didn't know, Don, if you chose the tie that binds, reflecting partly on the times and some of the events going on with our church and with our nation. Blessed be the tie that binds. Do you remember singing that this morning, everyone? It seems like there are a lot of divisions, and that is life as it is, and I think we need to be aware of that. And a good choice, if you did it inadvertently, perhaps your subconscious was the one that brought that out, that says, "Blessed be the tie that binds us together. Blessed be the tie that holds us, that keeps us one instead of being divided." If you think this division is unique and if you think struggles are something new, consider the Methodist Episcopal Church. This is prior to its uniting with the United Brethren, so we were just the MEC. And at one point in time, they had a general conference, and all the church's representatives came together, and they voted to abolish slavery, to take a stance saying no to slavery. And there was a tremendous uproar. There was division in the churches. There was arguing. There was criticism. There were people quitting. There was upset. So the next conference, they said, "Okay, well, let's repeal that because there's just too much controversy over it." So they repealed the stance on slavery, and instead, we fought the Civil War. We fought a war, brother against brother, father against son, family against family, people killing people, one of the bloodiest battles of our history. Would that we have kept it in the churches, perhaps we would have avoided that war. Would that we have stopped and done that face to face instead of rifle to rifle. So when we think about conflicts, Perhaps it's our job as Christian brothers and sisters to struggle together. It was a tough issue, slavery. It was an issue that was a mix of two things. One was a moral issue, the other one was an economic one. Think, if you would, about those families, those businesses, those cities and industries that depended upon slavery for their financial livelihoods. And to make decisions that would impact them would have been devastating. Think about it. Think about the decisions, and yet it is still a moral issue. If your foot is gangrenous, it may have to be removed. If your foot is not removed, the body will die, but if you remove the foot, you will survive. You will be changed forever and have to find a new way to walk. But it's hard, and those decisions can be hard, and that struggle can be hard. We are struggling, but blessed be the tie that binds. We have had different communications from our Episcopal office, from the district superintendents, and lots of prayers need to be offered. Lots of prayers for lots of people, and lots of struggles, lots of frustrations, lots of different things coming out of what's occurring with struggles in our church today. And it just seems to add oil on the fire, but that our nation is also divided. It's divided. Are there things there that are going on that are frustrating? I don't doubt that a bit. Shall we talk about anxiety and frustration and tension? How about North Korea? How about ISIL? How about terrorism? How about Ebola? How about politics and health care and immigration? Now, is everybody's tension level way up there? All of your anxiety just kind of, and your juices are just flushing away. Blessed be the tie that binds us. Now let's turn to Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. How many of you have uttered that at times in your lives when it seemed that you were in the valley of the shadow of death? Whether it was financial or relational or medical, or whether it was about issues of parent against child and child against parent, or we walk through that valley of the shadow of death, and there is anxiety and there is pain, and we need to acknowledge those things. I memorized the 23rd Psalm. How many of you memorized the 23rd Psalm? I memorize it periodically, because as soon as I memorize it, if I don't use it repeatedly, I forget it. Or I get it out of order. How many of you do that? And you know what? I don't think it matters, because the words there work. But I have stood at places and said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because thou art with me. We never walk alone. And there are shadows. Have you ever been in one of those dark nights of the souls, and the shadows are so dark, and it is so stark, and it is so fearful? And don't ever forget that if there are shadows, it means a light is shining somewhere. And don't ever forget that as Christians, we can lean on the one who is always with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Tree pollen is high. Did you notice that on the allergies? I don't have a cold anymore, but tree pollen is high. I'm wondering if it has to do with Colorado's marijuana laws. I just had to put that out there as a concern. I'm not a biologist. Thieves and bandits are attacking the sheep. Now, I'm mixing my two scriptures. You know that. Here's John talking about the thieves and the bandits, and that scripture is an intriguing one, because at one point Jesus is with the sheep, and at one point he's the gate, and at one point he's the gatekeeper. And it all, I think that in hearing it, the disciples were still trying to get their minds around that. And when John shares it with us, it comes out a little bit fragmented. It takes us a while to learn new things, doesn't it? It takes us a while to get them clear in our minds. You recall the Sunday school lesson, the teacher had a new class, and she gathered them together, and it was coming up on Easter. She said, who could tell me about Easter? And One little boy shot his arm up. Oh. She says, tell me what Easter is. He says, it's that wonderful holiday, and they have that big green tree with all of the pretty lights and the ornaments, and they have presents. And the teacher's going, no, that's Christmas, no. The little boy was crestfallen, and he sat back down. Another little boy shot his hand up. I know what it is. The teacher says, what's Easter? That's the one where you put on costumes and masks, and you go from house to house, and you hold out your bags, and they give you candy. And the teacher says, no, you've got it wrong again. That's Halloween. So a little girls are always smarter than boys. She raises her hand tentatively. The teacher says, all right. And she says, well, that's about Jesus. And he was captured, and he was arrested, and he was crucified, and he was died, and he was buried. And the teacher's going, yes. And he was buried in the tomb, and after 3 days, he came out, and he saw his shadow, and then there were 6 more weeks of summer. Sometimes we got to just keep going over the lesson. Sometimes we got to hit it again and again. We got to just, now, wait a minute, let's narrow in. But when you listen to John and the shepherd and the sheep and the thieves and the bandits, we know one thing. The good shepherd is there protecting us. The good shepherd is aware of us. We can hear his voice. And if we'll listen, that voice is for us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now I'm mixing the two gospel or the two lessons, two scripture lessons, but I trust you can deal with that. We do that every Sunday with the lectionary, don't we? And they're all talking about shepherds and things like that. And they're all talking about all those thieves and those bandits, those things that are worrisome. And there are thieves and bandits. There are struggles. There are closings of churches. The organist at Jefferson Avenue, Barbara Shaw, she came to us because the church that she was at had closed. And she was at that church because the church that she was at before had closed. I looked at her this morning, I said, we're breaking the cycle. It's not 3 times, Barbara. This is not going to happen here. She gave me a big thumbs up. But churches are closing. It's painful. It's devastating. Here is ministry, and ministry that is Christian ministry that should be flourishing, and somehow it's not happening. And why? Well, we'd love to be able to put faces and name names and point fingers at specific persons or peoples or things, but you know, when we start doing that, we become part of the thieves and bandits. When we start pointing and judging and doing that, we've already lost our Christian discipleship. We've become one of those with feed the alienation, feed the division, feed the inflammation of fear and hopelessness and anger and blame. You see, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's his rod and staff. It's not ours. It never has been. It has never been our job to be the judges. A lot of different ways to be alienated and separated. If you really want to see struggles, you should read the history of the early Christian church from the first 50 years after Jesus' death to the first about the year 300 or 400. Oh, there was people getting kicked out of the church, and there were people coming up with theories and churches splitting and people going every which way. It was an ugly period, and there was alienation and differentiation and splits and schisms and chasms and you name it. Maybe that hasn't changed too much. It seems like we continue to have new ways that people think that they have to be doing things, but that isn't our Christian heritage either. If I think about the table, the 12 disciples sitting at the table that Jesus was sitting at table with, they were so different, you can't imagine them being in one place together. Have you ever gone to a party or a gathering or a celebration and the people there are so different from you that you think, how am I even going to have a conversation with any of them? Have you ever been in a situation like that? The 12 at the table were like that. There were couples of them that might be able to get along, but there were so many differences, it was amazing. And yet Christ called them together. Christ gathered them together. Christ told him, put this stuff away, put all of that behind you and be one in me. And they were. And they could. And we can. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The first time I read that and heard that, I thought to myself, there you are stuck in the valley and God swoops you up and takes you to this beautiful feast. All of the best food, all of the sumptuous and safe and secure, and your head anointed with the oil. It's just, what a beautiful picture. But I misread that. That's not what it says. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Right there in the valley. We've all been in that valley, haven't we? We've all been in that valley of anxiety, of fear, of lost, of hopelessness, and called upon the Lord. And the Lord sets a table for us right there in the valley. Now, there's a couple of images you might want to plug in there. One is cowboy poker. You ever heard of cowboy poker? Now, you guys are all city fights. I grew up in northern Colorado. We had horses and cows and chickens and rodeos. Cowboy poker works like this. You get a bull that's fairly mean that is just happy to just throw anybody that he can get near, and you put him in the pen and then get some cowboys and you say, we'll pay you $500 if you come out here and you try to win the $500. Here's all you got to do is sit at this table with cards, like you're playing cards. And the last one sitting at the table after we let the bull go, the last one there wins the $500. You can look it up on YouTube. I looked at several videos. None of them were anything I would show you. That bull comes out and it has no doubt about what it's about. Table flies, chairs fly, people fly, cards fly. And somebody wins $500. It ain't worth it, folks. And I picture that, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I think, is that what God's doing, sitting there thumbing your nose at the bull and hoping that you win at the end? I don't think so. I don't think that's what God is doing. I still struggle. Here it is, preparing the table for me, a feast in the presence of mine enemies. I'm struggling. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the one we got to hang on to. That's the one that needs to be the core of who and how we are, because once we are allowing the boss to be the boss, once we stop trying to second guess the boss and do the boss's job and let the boss be the boss, thou are the one that's with me. And then we can let go of a lot of those anxieties. Think about that a minute. Think about what you could let go of if you would just say, God is here, God is with, and there's nothing more powerful than God, and God knows what can be done and what cannot. I don't have to do it. God can do it. In point of fact, I have to not do it. God can do it, and God will do it. You see, the Good Shepherd doesn't rush us through the valley to get us past all of our trials and tribulations. In the midst of that valley, he makes a table and sets a feast right there and then. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house forever. How are you going to do that at a table surrounded by your enemies? Is it possible that that's where God is calling us to be? Is that possible that that's where we should be at table? Is it possible that we are called to break bread right there with our enemies? Is it possible? Fine dining. Fine dining. Breaking bread with our enemies. I don't know how that could be. Would the shepherd do that? Would the shepherd us together to, instead of those enemies that we can dislike at a distance because we don't know them, now we have to sit face to face with them, across the table from them, sharing bread with them, getting to know them, getting to know their humanity, and sharing ours. Is it possible? I don't think it's possible. I think it's essential. I think that's what we're called to be about, you see.
When we listen to the voice of the shepherd, it calls us to that. Love one another. Break bread together. Let's do that. Open your hymnals to page 13.